to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the NXT Podcast. As always, I am your host. My name is Zachary Smith. Excited to be here for you for another week of, you know, I used to be able to say the best wrestling show, and I can't really do that anymore, can I? I'm here to talk about a show. That's still accurate. I still have that. It is a television show. So that's good. We're going to talk about this not a lot happening episode of NXT. Before we get started, you can always find me on Twitter at ZachNXT. That's at ZachNXT. We're talking wrestling, other fun stuff over there. You can also hear me on another podcast that I host. It's called Random Wrestling. On that show, I take a random WWE pay-per-view or topic and talk about it. I've talked about quite a few, mostly bad shows. You want to hear me suffer through stuff, and you don't get enough of that here, you can certainly find that over there, anywhere you find this podcast. Now, usually we do a segment called News, where I just kind of look at some headlines and talk about what's going on. So there's obviously some big news we're going to talk about, but couple of the headlines that start when you type WWE is from AV Club. The title is, as CM Punk and Bryan Danielson make AEW debut, WWE announces Bandersnatch but with Undertaker. That's a great headline. So it's an interactive horror movie called Escape the Undertaker. I mean, that could be interesting. Looks like the New Day's in it. Undertaker's in it. That should be fun. The stuff the New Day did with the Wyatts a few years ago wasn't good, but the New Day was good in it, so that's good. Sports Illustrated said, buoyed by new stars' debuts, All Out may have turned the tide in AEW's battle with WWE. Yeah, I would agree. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Apparently, Triple H had to undergo a procedure after suffering a cardiac event. Couple things. One, he's expected to make a full recovery, so that's very good. Two, suffering a cardiac event sounds like what WWE would call a heart attack and would say he got to a local medical facility, so it's a weird way to say it. Three, yeah, I bet he did have a cardiac event. It's been a stressful couple weeks, huh? I reckon you would have a cardiac event. That makes a lot of sense. And the big news. We're going to start with the most recent, work our way backwards. Bleacher Report, Kevin Owens' WWE contract apparently expires in January amid AEW rumors. Couple things happened. There were some big, big, big debuts in AEW. They became seemingly everybody's favorite wrestling show. And Kevin Owens tweeted out a set of coordinates. The tweet was deleted shortly after he put it up. The coordinates were to Mount Rushmore. That's a group he had with the some of the members of the Elite from AEW. And apparently we have a kind of similar to Adam Cole situation where we thought he was under contract for longer, but he's actually not. So if that is true, then that means in just about 4 months, Kevin Owens' contract will end and he will become a free agent. Few things here. This is not going to be as big as CM Punk or Bryan Danielson. Probably not as big as Adam Cole, just based on what everybody was doing before they came back. But Kevin Owens is one of, and on some days is, my favorite wrestler. I've only dressed up like a wrestler once to my immediate memory. It's when I had to dress up for a costume party, and I sure was Kevin Owens with the Intercontinental title, and I sure did duct tape KO on a sleeveless black t-shirt. I believe with zebra print duct tape. You're sure right I did do that. The picture's somewhere. It's embarrassing, but I sure did feel cool. Did I go to Target to buy an Intercontinental title? Yes, I did. Was the outfit just kind of an excuse to be able to go buy an Intercontinental title because I wanted one? Also, maybe don't worry about it, dude. So if Kevin Owens were to come to AEW and, you know, use as a bad guy where he's really, really, really excellent and actually taken, like, seriously as a competitor or, like, had things done with him, that would probably be really great. I remember thinking, it got brought up in a different podcast I was listening to, that Kevin Steen, or Kevin Owens, would be a great fit in AEW. And that's very true, he would be, but somebody on the podcast said that he signed a 5-year deal only a couple years ago, which would mean maybe not till 2024 would he be a free agent. Well, now, turns out WWE's not good at keeping track of their contracts, because my man becomes a free agent, apparently, in January. And boy, was I excited when I heard that. I am team get all these really good guys under the same roof. And I think Kevin Owens or Kevin Steen might be too. He's been on Raw, he's been on SmackDown, and every time he does the best he can to be like, look, I just don't know if this is working for me on this brand, maybe I can go to the other brand. And then he finds out that they're still an insane 75-year-old man making decisions for that other brand. Cannot wait for Kevin Owens to go to AEW. That's where he should be anyway. So that is wonderful news. I want all of my favorite wrestlers to go to AEW because it seems like a better company that care about each other and it's more fun. And I don't know what else you want from your wrestling company. Mick Foley, WWE has a problem. It's no longer the place for talent to aspire to. Mick also said that they did wonders for him in his run, but these days he would not trust them to do so. Wouldn't trust him, or rather them, with his character. That's an excellent point. They wouldn't do anything with Mick Foley now. They wouldn't have any ideas for him. And yeah, WWE's not necessarily the destination anymore. You still will have people who are adults now, who grew up with nothing but WWE. I mean, as past 2001, that's all there really was for the top of the top. And so right now, you probably have a lot of people who you can still sell on the dream of WWE and a WrestleMania, but I think we're going to have a lot of kids who are adults in 20 years who grew up watching AEW, and I think slowly but surely, that's going to be the tide turning. It's important to remember when WCW got the Outsiders and Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage and all these people, it wasn't an overnight success. Like, Hogan drops the leg on Savage at Bash at the Beach 96. It's not till 97, 98 that things really get white hot with the NWO. It wasn't the next day you see those returns. You're starting to see those with AEW. And while WWE trends down with every show that they do, to varying degrees, they are on a downward trend, and they're going to have more money for a long, long time, and that's fine. AEW is getting better and better ratings, better and better reviews, and it just seems like a really fun place to work. Whether it was Ruby Soho, Adam Cole, Bryan Danielson, CM Punk, everybody that comes here remarks on how great it is backstage, which without saying it implies that it's maybe not so great in WWE. And I think we kind of knew that, right? Seems like an overall stressful place to work. That makes sense. So I think that as long as they keep operating how they have and Tony Khan is still in charge, you know, who would have thought like a younger guy would put on a better wrestling show, and like somebody who's a fan of actual like wrestling would put on a good wrestling show. But now AEW has the tippy top stars that maybe they didn't have before, and they don't feel like WWE guys, even though Adam Cole literally just came off of a takeover. Bryan Danielson was last seen on SmackDown. The last time CM Punk was in a ring was for WWE. Ruby Soho was in WWE. They don't feel like that. They feel like AEW people. So, You can keep calling them not competition. That's fine. But the reason WWE won the Monday Night Wars is because Nitro had a great start with the NWO, and WWE lucked into having Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock at the same time. Roman Reigns is fantastic. There ain't no Stone Cold and The Rock right now, and they don't seem to be coming around. I think AEW has more of a chance for that than they do. And that's not good news for WWE, but it is good news if you're a fan of wrestling. But tonight we're talking about NXT. They say it's going to be a big show because there's two title matches tonight. I would argue that the women's tag titles and the men's tag titles don't be like, oh, championship night, and then it's the tag titles. Don't do that. Ember Moon's out first. They really made a big deal about her coming back, and then not a lot happened after that. Wade Barrett said that the slide needs to stop for Ember right now. Kind of a what have you done for me lately thing. Interesting to say that on commentary when she's making her entrance, but all right. Kaylee Ray is her opponent. Seems like Kaylee Ray is the one that's going to take that title from Raquel Gonzalez. If Kaylee Ray loses, I literally have no idea who else they would have to face Raquel, much less beat her. Kaylee Ray picks up the win. Went about 15 minutes. It was a fun match. You get to see Kaylee Ray in a real match, not a squash match. She's very impressive. And I guess Ember Moon's just kind of back to doing nothing now, huh? So that's good. It's good that we made such a big deal about her coming back. And everybody was kind of like, oh, cool, but eh. And then that seems like NXT kind of realized it, and now maybe not as much going on, I guess. Oney and Danny are in the back with Pete Dunne and Ridge Holland. Danny said he's done talking about these bollocks. He said they're going to get the titles back. Pete Dunne says, no, don't just get your titles back. You need to end MSK. Danny tells Mackenzie to put one foot in front of the other. It's called walking. Kicks her out. It's an interesting little stable we have here. He wrote in his notes, not knowing how the show was going to end. I'm not sure where it's going to go, but it's interesting. Again, he wrote in his notes, not knowing yet. We cut to Fresco Restaurant. There's a bachelorette party for Indy Hartwell. As best I can tell, it was Mackenzie, the interviewer, and a bunch of the women's wrestlers. The fact that they did not have Beth Phoenix here for this is insulting. She is, I believe, helping to plan the wedding. It's messed up not to invite her. She's so excited about this wedding. So Indy says during her speech, Dexter came into her life and stalked his way into her heart. That's weird, and I hate it, and that's been my problem with this the whole time, is it's a creepy, weird story, and I don't like it. Gives Candace props for kind of showing her the way and being a mentor to her. Candace gets up to give a toast, says, well, I guess you're ready for the main event speech. But Caden Carter and Casey Catanzaro were doing a TikTok at the table. That's cool. Modern. Candace says she realized that Dexter really loves Indy, and that's all she can ask for. And Candace says Johnny's going to be a tougher nut to crack. Indy says, well, I guess Dexter will just have to crack his nut. And that's, listen, I'm not going to lie to you and say I didn't laugh when she said that. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to be dishonest here on this show. They go off, they're going to use that surveillance system that Candace and Johnny used to spy on Indy and Dexter to spy on the bachelor party later. In the back with Mackenzie and William Regal, Regal says it's been 2 weeks since Joe won the title. Man, does it feel longer than that. He won the title, he did the interview with Wade Barrett. I don't know why it already feels a lot longer than 2 weeks, but it does. But he said, it's time we have a new number one contender, so next week, Fatal 4-Way match. That's a good way to decide it. It's kind of NXT's default. Tommaso Ciampa, Kyle O'Reilly, LA Knight, and Pete Dunne in a Fatal 4-Way. That should be a fantastic match. Feel like I'd like LA Knight to win that match. I don't know if it's time to do Pete Dunne yet. I don't want to see Kyle O'Reilly again. Ciampa would be good. But I think LA Knight would get the most from winning. And it's a Fatal 4-Way. He could steal a win. That'd be a fun program. Next week is also the Indy and Dexter wedding. Beth is still wearing the index shirt under a blazer. Casey and Caden come out. Their whole thing is that their names are very similar and hard to say one right after the other. So really, only affects people who are like doing podcasts about it, I guess. They are, in fact, facing Zoe Stark and Io Shirai. Remember them? Remember when Io was like a really, really, really good NXT Women's Champion? And I was making the argument every week that she wasn't just the best NXT Women's Champion, but she was the best champion in WWE. Those were good times. Now we're here. I sure did forget that they were the Women's Tag Team Champions, and in fact that there are Women's Tag Team Champions. This match is a women's tag title match. It's a whole lot of Io still doesn't like Zoe Stark and doesn't want to tag her in. That's weird because they aren't a new team anymore. They're the literal tag team champions. Should probably stop having tag team matches with her if you don't like her at this point. I mean, we did the thing at the restaurant, which was like a little racist, which was weird. Feels like maybe you could just leave the tag titles and not tag with her anymore if she's that bad. But we're going to keep doing this. Moonsault by Io Shirai. They win. They retain the titles. They're celebrating. I wrote, okay, see you guys again in a month, I guess. So Kacy and Caden are at the top of the ramp, and the lackeys for Mandy Rose come out with her. They take them out. Mandy's now wearing a mask, like her face is broken. Like Sheamus does, or like Cody Rhodes did in WWE. The lackeys have names, and I keep forgetting them, and they're just complicated enough that I can't quickly type them because it would get auto-corrected. It doesn't feel like it's important to know. I keep forgetting that Mandy Rose is even here because she doesn't seem to fit with what NXT... But also, Vince and Bruce are calling shots here now, so who knows? I'm not sure why Mandy Rose is mad at Caden and Kacy, when in fact it was Saray who's the one that broke her face. So, I don't know if her two lackeys are going to try for a tag title shot now, which feels like an odd decision. Or if like they beat up Saray just the one time and that was like enough to kind of prove their point. That certainly could be part of it, I guess. It just kind of feels like they're not doing a lot, and so they're just kind of having them do stuff, which I don't know if you remember, is what happens on Raw a lot of the time, and I don't know if you further remember, but Vince and Bruce are kind of in charge of that. And if I didn't tell you earlier that Triple H had a cardiac episode, and it's probably not at work, that should be a good indication, because NXT's slowly becoming like Raw, and that's something. It's certainly something. They have a lot of... Vince and Bruce have a lot of ideas, and most of them are bad, but they have a lot of them, and they're gonna try them, because what do you know, idiot? You've never run a wrestling company. You don't like the show that's because you're a mark and we're playing you, and you think you could do it better, and you haven't put the work in, and it's great you put the work in, and like... nose to the grindstone and all that stuff, but you make like a bad product. So it's an odd juxtaposition. So you get like stupid inconsequential nonsense like this, where like I'm supposed to be mad at Mandy Rose and her friends when they're not even attacking the person that did it to Mandy Rose in the first place. So I don't even know what we're doing. I think the whole thing is that Vince thinks that Mandy Rose is pretty and blonde, so it's what would a heel do? A heel would have a mask on. Now she's not pretty. Do you get it? So that's cool. Again, not sure why they're mad at Kacy and Caden, but I presumably will get a match. And boy, won't that be fun. Kyle O'Reilly interview. Basically says he wants the NXT title, and Samoa Joe basically said he doesn't care if he dies. Says because the NXT title represents being the best. He said at TakeOver, one obsession ended, and next week another one begins. Boy, oh boy. We either need to get Kyle a manager, or we need to stop scripting stuff for Kyle. Because I don't know. I haven't seen Kyle outside of WWE. I don't know if when he says his own words, he sounds better. But if you give that man a monologue, he sounds like he's reading a monologue to you. When I was in high school drama, if a kid had a monologue that they had to do, sometimes they would just like say the words without any inflection or anything, and it sounded like it was the first time they were reading it. That's always how Kyle O'Reilly sounds. And I feel like he's more charismatic than that, but he might just be a guy that can't memorize words and say them back to you. So maybe we should have him just talk. But that would be ridiculous. That's what AEW does, and they're not even competition. So that'll be part of the Fatal 4-Way next week. Up next is the Bachelor Party. I like the idea that wrestlers are only friends with other wrestlers, so Indy could only get, like, the announcer, or rather the interviewer and a bunch of wrestlers, and Dexter Lumis only gets a bunch of wrestlers. Johnny and Dexter with Odyssey Jones and Drake Maverick in a limo. When Cameron Grimes and Dexter Lumis had their Halloween Havoc match, there were zombies. There was a ref that was a zombie. That ref is still a zombie, and he's in the limo. They don't mention it. I don't have anything to add. I don't think it was quite funny that there was a zombie there, but it was kind of a, huh, okay. Not enough to be mad at, I suppose. But there's a zombie here, and I feel like that's important for me to let you know. Again, if you needed any more clear indication that Vince and Bruce's fingerprints are going to be on this more, they did it with ECW, and boy, oh boy, they're bringing that zombie back one way or the other. Johnny says he isn't paying for any of this wedding, wants to know who is at that moment. Cameron Grimes opens the limo door. He's handing out money to everybody as they get out, says he's covering the wedding, offers to shake Dexter's hands for a truce, and he does, in fact, shake hands. So first they're doing go-karts with everybody, which also includes a zombie who, I'm just thinking about it now, gets a helmet like everybody else. I'm not sure why a zombie would need a helmet. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I know that. But it feels like I should mention that he probably didn't need a helmet. It's only occurring to me now. So Cameron Grimes mentions that the winner of this go-kart race gets $10,000. Indy and Candace are in the go-kart place. They're in a show model car with binoculars spying on them. Dexter takes out the zombie's car. Johnny ends up winning. Says to Cameron Grimes, you owe me $10,000. High fives, everybody. Now they cut in. They're doing axe throwing. The dudes are having way more fun. The girls just had a crappy, like, brunch. And these dudes are doing, like, five things. Now they're doing axe throwing. The tour guide asks if anybody... It's not a tour guide. What's an axe throwing tour guide? The axe master nailed it. Asks if anybody has experience with an axe. Dexter raises his hand. Get it? Because he's creepy. Indy and Candace are in the next bay over, still spying. Everyone sucks who's throwing the axes except Dexter Lumis, who, surprise, surprise, is really good at it. Johnny sucks at first, but Dexter teaches him the actual correct way to throw the axe, and he improves. They seem to be getting along. Cuts over to Drake Maverick, who's jumping on, like, the trampolines that they have, and Grimes bets Odyssey Jones $10,000 he can't send Drake Maverick to the moon, and Jones takes that bet, bounces over to Maverick, who bounces very high and does, like, a flip bump onto the trampoline. The last event is laser tag. These dudes, again, had way more of a fun day. So there's two teams. All of our guys are on one team. All the dudes who work at that laser tag shop around the other team keep showing clips of the dudes that work there walking around with their laser tag guns. And Dexter Lumis is doing a Batman where he hides in the shadows and comes out. The first guy, he like uppercuts, knocks him out. Johnny runs past and shoots the guy's chest to claim the victory there. Another guy's walking around. Dexter rear naked chokes him through a hole in the wall. Johnny again sneaks up and knocks him out. So Johnny and Dexter at the end, Johnny takes credit for winning. Johnny and Dexter hold their hands up. They're close to high-fiving, but they're hesitant. The ref, who was a zombie, now speaks normally and says, it's not even going to be that bad. Go for it. And they all marvel that he is, in fact, Canadian instead of a zombie. I don't know if he was pretending to be a zombie or if he's like a Canadian zombie. I don't know, man. They didn't mention it again, and I don't have anything else for it. But again, it seems weird to tell you about this and not mention that there was, in fact, a zombie that's really a Canadian. And I think that's something we can all learn from, you know? They end up high-fiving. Indy and Candace walk up. Indy says, Dexter, you did it. You cracked Johnny's nut. I'm not gonna lie to you again and say I didn't laugh the second time she said it. They're all on the same page now. That's very nice. Johnny says, let's go have a wedding, and Dexter cracks like a half smile, which is the most we've gotten from him. And again, the wedding is next week. WWE weddings always go bad, so I don't know how this one's gonna go bad, but it will. It's kind of what happens. So I don't know. I don't know if, like, there's somebody else that really likes Dexter. I don't know what we're gonna do, but I do know there's never gonna be a wrestling wedding that just goes off without a hitch. And the last one was Lana and Bobby Lashley, and Rusev and Lana interrupted that one. So I don't know, man. Or no, Rusev and, I don't remember, man. It sucked. Who cares? Got interrupted. They all get interrupted, or they're fake weddings like Billy and Chuck. Or it's Triple H and Stephanie, which went the most normal because it was Triple H and Stephanie, but still, he like knocked her out and did like a Vegas drive-through wedding, which is weird if you think about it, because those characters are still married, which is a weird basis for a relationship, but that's fine. So, that's next week. Frankie Monet's backstage talking about the wedding invitation that she just got. I'm going to level with you here. Frankie Monet was on my screen, so I zoned out. I don't know what she said. I don't know what was said to her. There was another person back there. Zoned out. I believe she's getting a women's title shot next week. So that's interesting in that, one, it is not interesting at all, and two, she's going to lose that match. Feels like maybe the kind of thing you could have built up, but also don't want to watch this character a whole lot. Like, in the ring, very good. I would rather skip to her in the ring because her character's not the kind of bad guy that makes me want to see her get beat up like a bad guy usually is. Her character is the kind that I just fast forward, even though I do a podcast about the show she's on. So in that respect, I'd much rather you just get to the match and not make me watch her talk at Raquel, who's not necessarily the most charismatic ever either. So yeah, that'll happen, I guess, next week, and she'll lose, so that'll just leave Kaylee Ray, which I didn't want to watch Frankie Monet as champion either. Again, Taya Valkyrie, very talented. This thing isn't doing it for me. I don't know. Man, it's on you if it is. That's fine. Like what you like, you know? So it is time for our main event. Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan are out first. MSK, who, if you forgot, are the men's tag team champions. MSK win in a really good match. This is probably the best match that they've had on NXT so far. Kazoni and Danny are fantastic, so are MSK. They're still weird when they talk. They're, I don't know, like they haven't quite found themselves yet in a way that you can show to the audience, I guess. And so there's not like a connection with them, but in the ring, their matches are really fun. So Danny and Oney lose. So MSK celebrating on the entrance ramp. Pete Dunne and Rich Holland are looking at them from inside the ring. Danny and Oney are down selling. Ridge and Pete Dunne pick up, I think, Danny first, then Oney. They headbutt him. Pete Dunne kicks Oney's head almost off. This is an interesting choice. So Ridge, Holland, and Pete Dunne take out Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. I guess they're going their separate ways. My question would be why. Ridge and Pete Dunne are starting to leave, and Danny and Oney are laid out, but Danny's slowly going over to Oney to check on him, and Ridge Holland gets back into the ring, taking umbrage with the fact that he got up and headbutts him again to take him down. So I don't know why we broke these dudes up. I don't know if Rich Holland and Pete Dunne are going to go their separate ways. Kind of feels like they could have done that anyway and just, you know, been a tag team like Oney and Danny are. Seems like you could have maybe done that. I imagine you want to put some more shine on Rich Holland, and maybe you think Pete Dunne can do a better job just being his manager than him being one of a group. I'm not sure. Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch weren't super consequential to the overall group in promos or anything, but they were the best tag team in that group, or the best two guys you could put together. So I'm not sure why we did that. But I know Ridge Holland's going to be a star. Why do I know that? Because he's tall. So this was kind of a no anything happening NXT. Next week, I think we get Frankie Monet challenging for the women's title. I'm going to level with you. I'm not 100% sure. Didn't listen. Presumably, we'll get that a clean finish in that fatal four-way match to find a new number one contender. The Indy Hartwell-Dexter Lumis wedding. Something's going to happen. I don't know what. Look forward to more Vince and Bruce producing, I suppose. And all the best to Triple H and all that. I hope he makes a full recovery quickly. Please come back, please. That's it for NXT, just about. So one more time, you can find me on Twitter at ZachNXT, at ZachNXT. You can also find Random Wrestling anywhere this podcast comes out. New episodes come out each weekend, so this weekend will be another one. You can subscribe and rate over there. In the meantime, that's it for NXT, so that's it for me. I have been Zachary Smith. You have been fantastic, as always, and thank you for listening.